Yeah, I kind of went into it very confident, but my freshman year was a humbling experience, and it kind of helped me for the rest of my college career. You know, really just repetition. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that I've done to help me be successful shooting. I've always had a dream to play in the NBA as well, you know, back at home. So that's still a dream of mine. If that happens in 3 to 5 years, that'd be great.
I'm Declan Burke, and welcome to The Sit Down, the podcast that explores the mindsets, motivations, and opinions of the elite talent, brands, agencies, and rights holders working with Sport Indoors. Today's guest, Michael Flowers, is a talented basketball player that had great success as both a high school and collegiate player who is now shooting hoops in Germany. While in college, Mike played for Western Michigan, South Alabama, and Washington State. He's now with the VFL Kirchheim Knights in Germany. You'll learn how he's been adjusting to life in Europe, what advice he has for collegiate players considering Europe, what he does to keep his mindset sharp, and how he continues to develop his playing skills. I particularly liked his analysis of why basketball is such a unique sport. Enjoy. Hi, Michael. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. So, very basic question. Where are you from?
I'm from Southfield, Michigan, right outside of Detroit, Metro Detroit. More familiar with a lot of people, so.
Okay, pretty cool. And you're talking to us because you're a really good basketball player. So, begs the question I always ask: what got you into your sport in the first place?
Honestly, you know, I touched the ball when I was about 5 years old, and I fell in love instantly. So, it was just kind of something that just was placed on me at a young age as a kid. And, you know, I looked up to a lot of older athletes professionally and dudes that I knew from my city and playing against other dudes at a young age. And I just fell in love with the competitiveness and the love of the game, you know. So
okay, right. So again, there you go. There's a trend, you know. Most of the elite athletes all start young, and five is pretty young, yeah? You know, I think when I was five, I was probably taller than a basketball, but not by much, you know. So we'll get on to high school and your collegiate career in a minute, but like pre-high school, did you play competitive basketball at all, or was it just kind of more fun, or did you get into a training program, or how did that work?
I was playing competitive basketball, AAU basketball at the start of about third grade. So, I kind of started early, and, you know, AAU was travel basketball. We traveled around the country, really playing against different teams from different places. And that kind of prepared me for going into high school basketball, where things got very serious, where dudes were fighting for scholarships and stuff like that. So,
So in high school, I mean, so you said it was very competitive, but clearly that didn't faze you at all, because you were a two-time All-State selection in high school. So, you know, I mean, that's clearly an amazing achievement. So that pressure and that competitiveness was something which you clearly coped with well, yeah? What was that like?
It was just something that I feel like was just in me since I was a kid, you know? Always been competitive. My friends, you know, kind of helped with that. You know, I had some competitive friends. We always pushed each other and wanted to be better than each other at anything we did. So that kind of helped, and it translated on the court. And, you know, once I got to high school, you know, obviously I started taking it more serious because I wanted to, you know, get a Division I scholarship, you know, help my parents pay for college for free. So, you know, I took it very more serious, and, you know, I stuck to the grind and found a way to, you know, separate myself from my peers. So.
It's super impressive. And it's one of the things which actually, we in Sport Indoors think is amazing about the USA in particular, around the scholarships which are available, to talented athletes such as yourself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess on that, so you got a D1 scholarship and you went to Western Michigan, right? So,
yes,
again, that's step up from being a two-time All-State selection at high school into then collegiate D1 basketball. Was that a big step up?
Yeah, it was. You know, at the time, I didn't really think of it like that. You know, I was young. You know, I was, you know, my mental was more like, I'm the best ever and stuff like that, which is good. You know, I've always been confident. But, you know, college kind of humbled me, especially my freshman year with, you know, just being on a big campus and playing with dudes that are 4 years older than me, you know, really been through a lot with basketball, a lot of maturity. So, yeah, I kind of went into it, you know, very confident. But my freshman year was a humbling experience and it kind of helped me for the rest of my college career. So
I've yet to talk to anybody who hasn't been humbled at some point or another. Yeah. Right. And, you know, I think it's a real measure of the person to be able to be humble and to learn from that and to kick on, as distinct from to, you know, fold your tail between your legs and head off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And again, I guess in when you were there, you were named a second team All-Pac 12 in 2020. Yeah. So like, again, from like a high level, looking at your career, your collegiate career, it really looked like, you're saying your freshman year was difficult, but you clearly built from there and you took off again and started winning awards. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And so, but then at some point you moved, right? And you moved to South Alabama. Yeah.
Yeah.
What prompted that move? Was that, were you scouted or what happened?
I left Western Michigan after my junior year. So it was a lot going on at that time. That was the year that the pandemic broke out and it ended everyone's season pretty early that year, going into March. So with all of that going on, and then on top of that, my coach got fired after all of that. So that was a big transition for me and a couple of my teammates, you know, for my last year in particular, what I thought was going to be my last year before COVID gave us all an extra year. But yeah, I kind of wanted to choose where I wanted to be and who I wanted to play for my last year. You know, I knew it was a big year for me. So, you know, I kind of just wanted to make sure I ended my college career off on a good note. So that kind of prompted me to go to South Alabama and play for Richie Riley, which I think was a great decision for me, you know.
Okay, yeah. And definitely a different climate, right, down there in the Sun Belt, yeah?
Oh, yeah, definitely a different climate.
yeah, it's interesting. On the climate basis, there's an English runner who actually spent time in Arkansas and Arizona State. And his favorite thing about the USA, the weather in Arizona.
So that was one of my favorite. That was one of my favorite things about Alabama as well. You know, I grew up in Michigan, you know, so we get a lot of cold winters. And, you know, going to Western Michigan, it was the same thing. So when I got a chance to play in Alabama, you know, realizing how the weather is during the wintertime, during the season, it was one of the best things I ever experienced. So, yeah, I was happy.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. And I mean, you got a first team All Sun Belt newcomer of the year recognition that year, right? So
yes,
again, kicked on beautifully, right? So that drive was still there quite clearly. And then you hopped. So what we call it, the bonus COVID year. You moved on from South Alabama, to back up kind of north to Washington State, yeah.
Yes, sir.
So what influenced you in that? Too hot down in Alabama?
Well, it definitely wasn't the weather, man, because I went from hot to cold again. Yeah. You know, you get some cold winters and pull them in Washington. But nah, it was just, you know, another opportunity to just move up and to play in a Power Five conference, you know, something that I always kind of dreamed of as a kid. And after this COVID broke out with giving everyone an extra year, it was a lot of people in my ear, in my corner that I trusted telling me that it might be a good decision for me to, you know, use that year to play at a higher level school to get more exposure and recognition to help me going into my professional year. So that was just the idea around that. It was a hard decision for me, though, because, you know, South Alabama treated me so well that year. And, you know, I love my teammates and my coaching staff and stuff. But, you know, I just felt like this was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. And, you know, it was a good opportunity for me in the end. So
yeah, I hear you. It's life throws lots of decisions like that at people, where sometimes the people you're surrounded with are really good and you can be very comfortable, but it doesn't necessarily drive you to the next level of performance. Sometimes a little bit of being uncomfortable or change is required for that, and that's across everybody, really. So we've gone from cold to hot to cold, right? And that leads into this question quite nicely. Like every elite athlete who I've talked with comes across tough times. Now, you've mentioned your freshman year, you were humbled a little bit, but how do you stay motivated? Like, some people have little tricks, mind tricks, different things that they use. So on that day when you get up and you're like, man, I'm just beat and I'm just, you know, I'm not into it. Yeah.
Right.
What do you do to turn that switch back on?
So lately I've been big on, you know, meditation. I think that's something that really helps for me. I wasn't really into it as much my freshman year of college, but later in my college career, I got into it. And it started showing, you know, better results for me on those days where I was, you know, I didn't feel like doing anything. I wasn't motivated or I just felt overwhelmed. So, you know, I started doing that and now I kind of put it into my daily routine as best as I can. And, you know, every year I see the benefit in it. So that's something I definitely would recommend for others who may be looking for that as well. And something that definitely helps for me.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, meditation. I'm actually a fan as well. And you thankfully have got to it much younger in your life than me. Yeah. So, but it's a definite win, I think. If you can make it routine, it really helps.
All right.
So, and now a little bit more fun, maybe. You're playing as a shooting guard now. So is that a position you naturally fell into, or is that something that a coach encouraged you towards, or how did that work out?
I'm more of like a combo guard, you know. So I play shooting guard and point guard. But a lot of my coaches, since I shoot the ball very well and, you know, I can play make on my own and create my own shot, you know, they like to use me as a shooting guard for certain plays and actions and sets. And then at times I'll be the primary ball handler. So it's kind of just what the team needs. You know, I find myself at different roles every year. You know, I prefer to be the point guard, primary point guard. I feel like that's me at my best, making plays for my teammates and myself. But, you know, I have no problem with playing shooting guard as well and coming off pin downs and shooting threes and, you know, putting pressure on the defense by stretching the floor out. So it's just something that happens naturally.
Okay. And it's do what's right for the team as well. But interesting. Right. Yeah, I mean, I've yet to see you play in person, but I've watched a bunch of YouTube clips. And how do you make scoring, particularly three-pointers, look so fluid and easy? Like, what is that like a million hours of practice, or is it a bit of natural talent and a lot of practice, how, like, mentally, when you're kind of there's an English coach around ball, primarily striking balls, kind of sports, called Dave Allred, who's now I think 80, but he wrote a book called The Pressure Principle, and actually it's around how there's this guy in his office and he's really good at, you know, scrunching up a piece of paper and hitting the trash can with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of his colleagues sees him doing this day in, day out, and he never misses. And one day the colleague goes, hang on there. We'll call this kid Mick, right? Hang on there, Mick. I'm going to come back with a couple of people. And he comes back and he has them betting, right? $10 mm-hmm. says Mick will hit the trash can. Right. And when there's an audience all of a sudden of like five colleagues and they're all betting money on it, Mick scrunches up the piece of paper and he shoots and he misses. Mm. Why? Yeah. And it's all mental, right? So, so without, you know, giving away the secret sauce, what do you do, Mike, that, that makes it look so fluid and so seamless?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you, it's not easy. But yeah, it's kind of like you said, just a mixture of both just natural and just hard work as well. You know, I would say mainly the hard work and the repetition and the putting up shots. You know, I'm always big on that, shooting after practice, you know, working on your footwork and, you know, really just repetition. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that I've done to help me be successful shooting. You know, I've always put up a lot of shots and just naturally when I was a kid, you know, just shooting all day in the backyard or at school, you know, kind of help, you know, just naturally flowing into my professional career now, as it's not hard to just put up shots on my own. So, yeah, definitely just continue to keep shooting, as a shooter say, and eventually they'll fall.
And so here's a question. It just popped into my head, and it's a tough one to answer, maybe. What do you think has been the most satisfactory shot you've ever taken? Now, you've scored so many, that's why I think it's probably going to be tough. But is there one in particular, or two in particular, that you remember where you were like, I just love this right now?
Right. One that kind of comes to mind would probably be last year playing at BYU when I hit the three-pointer to beat Klay Thompson record. That was a big accomplishment for me, you know, just because I always looked up to Klay Thompson before I even thought about going to Washington State. And when I did that, you know, just to see the alumni of Washington State and the community and the Cougar fan club just, you know, embrace me and show me so much love for doing that was just an incredible experience for me. So, you know, that would be one of my favorite moments right there.
When you were taking that shot, were you just thinking the shot, or were you thinking, if I get this shot, I break the record?
I was honestly just thinking the shot. You know, it was a big game for us. We were in the NIT tournament, and it was the game that would send us to play at Madison Square Garden, so in New York. So I was, you know, really focused on that, more so about just making the shot for the team to help put us in a position to win. But, you know, after the game, you know, everyone made it clear that I beat the record, and it just felt good that we got the win as well. So,
wow, that's a special moment for sure to be cherished.
Say.
But that's looking back. There is a forward. Let's step off the court for a minute then. So what do you do for fun?
For fun, man. I mean, now that I play in Europe, you know, I see that I have way more free time. So I've been really just trying to find new things to do, actually. You know, back at home when I was in America, things I did for fun was just mainly just hanging with my friends and my family, enjoying just quality time and going to the movies or going to the mall or just, you know, staying at home with people that I, you know, love and care about. Something I like to do. But now that I'm here, I'm just finding new things to do, just a new way of living. You know, it's kind of hard. I'm trying new things, you know, reflecting, self-reflecting on myself and finding new ways to, you know, grow as a person. So that's been my biggest focus right now on my free time out here. So, you know, I'm looking forward to new things.
Yeah, it is tough when you move to a new country and you leave behind that kind of family friend network. It's always a challenge, but it's an amazing growth opportunity as well. And I've yet to meet anybody who hasn't gone through that process, who hasn't come out kind of happier and certainly more aware of what they like in life, really. Yeah. It kind of reinforces. Yeah. This is a bit of a tangent, so apologies, but there's a boxer, I won't name him, there's an Irish boxer who is living in LA. Yeah. And doing quite well. And he, anyway, he took the decision to move back home here to Ireland. And he was asked on TV why. And he said, well, for all of the kids out there watching, social media isn't real. He said, you'll have seen the pictures of Venice Beach and the nice cars and the good looking girls and all the rest of it, etc. But you won't have seen the picture of me crying my eyes out on my sofa on a Friday night because I'm homesick.
Right.
Because, you know, people don't take pictures like that and put them on Instagram, yeah?
Right, exactly.
So, you know, that whole, and that's totally natural. It's totally natural. And it's stuff that people really don't talk about. So, I feel for you. But anyway, hopefully Sport Norse can help get you a bit more active.
Right.
So, again, nutrition tends to be important for sports people. So, and the flip side of that is some have cheat meals, yeah? And that can be anything from, so do you have a cheat meal? And if so, what is it?
Oh, I definitely have a cheat meal. You know, right now I would probably say it would be a hamburger. You know, it's probably the most common food they have down here that I'm used to. We have a spot that we go to regularly for our cheat day, which is normally like Sunday on our off day. So,
okay.
Yes, sir.
A good burger. Excellent stuff. Outside of basketball, are you a fan of any other sports or not? Some people are, some aren't.
Yeah, I'm a big sports fan, period. You know, I watch a lot of different sports. I wouldn't say that I'm a diehard fan like I am for basketball, of course. But, you know, I watch American football. You know, I had a friend growing up that played baseball. So I used to watch baseball at times. You know, boxing, good boxing matches I watch. You know, soccer I've got into, or football, which they call it over here in Europe. But, you know, I see how popular it is over here, and I actually enjoy watching, you know, some of the World Cup games and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm a sports fan. You know, I enjoy the competitiveness of each sport, and, you know, I'm a fan.
Yeah, and I guess from certainly from your seat rather than mine, because I was never an elite sports person,
right?
You can probably look at the performances and understand better the effort that's gone into them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very corny question, but if you could pick an actor to be you in a movie, who would you pick?
That's a good question, man. I'd probably just say Michael B. Jordan. You know,
okay.
He plays a lot of different roles. You know, I've seen him in Creed, so he knows the, you know, the athletic side of acting and stuff like that. So maybe Michael B. Jordan would be good.
Okay, there you go. Michael B., if you're listening to this at any point, you know, right, that's a new role for you in the future.
Yes, sir.
Right. And so music, songs, like favorite type of music, or have you got one song that's your go-to?
Yeah, man. I'm a big music fan. I listen to rap, R&B, hip hop mainly. You know, my favorite rap artist is Lil Baby. And, you know, R&B, I listen to a lot of different artists. You know, Janae Aiko.
Okay.
So Summer Walker, a lot of different artists from back at home. You know, I listen to Larry June, who was another rapper, you know, different style of rap. So, you know, I'm always open to hear different styles of music, different genres. You know, I'm not too picky, but I do have my favorites, especially on game day, that kind of helped me get in the right mindset and the mind frame for what I need to do.
So do you have a defined kind of playlist pre-game, or do you change it up a bit?
I kind of change it up. I don't never really do the same one. I kind of, you know, certain days I might want to hear this type of artist and that type of artist and stuff, but for the most part, you know, right before the game, it's always rap that kind of gets me in my mood. But like on the bus over to the game and stuff like that, or early in the morning on the day of the game, I listen to more R&B and hip hop, something kind of just more calm and that, you know, just gets me going and flowing early. So,
okay. There's probably an entire podcast episode on music and how that can shape the mental prep for games. Yeah.
Right.
And as we were kind of went from movies to music, have you got a favorite movie at the moment? Something you've seen recently, or a long-standing one that you prefer from ages ago? Yeah.
I'll probably just go with something I've seen recently. I just saw Wakanda Forever. So Black Panther, the second one. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a good movie. Also the second Avatar. I just saw that as well. So two good movies I saw while I was here in Europe. So, yeah.
Then, so the last kind of hero-y type or kind of actor type question, sporting hero, did you have one, or do you have one?
Growing up, my hero, my idol was Kobe Bryant, always. And obviously what transpired with him and, you know, brutal. His family was, you know, brutal. So,
yeah.
But he still is, you know, what he stands for, his legacy will live on forever. And somebody who I always, you know, looked up to when it comes to basketball and life period, his just approach to everything was just amazing. So absolutely. I would say Kobe for sure.
A fine choice. Absolute legend.
Yeah.
Okay. So skipping back then, I guess a more sport related question. What do you think makes basketball so special versus other sports?
That's a great question. I just feel like basketball is just the most unique sport. Personally, you know, football, American football is more like, you know, it's more players on the team, obviously. More players on the field at all times, more stoppage, you know, between plays. I feel like basketball is just one of the most flowing sports with action going on at the same time. You know, in soccer, it's always flowing, but they only score a couple goals a game normally.
Yeah.
Whereas basketball is continuously flowing, a lot of movement, a lot of scoring of points, you know, at all times. So I think that's what makes our sport the most unique. It's not too many other sports where it's that many points scored with that much flow going on at the same time, with all the pieces and players moving at the same time and things like that. So that's the beautiful thing about our sport.
Yeah, no, that's really well explained. And I completely agree. We're going to see while you're still over in Europe at some point, we might try to get you over here to Dublin and we'll bring you along to a game called hurling, which is it's kind of a cross between hockey and lacrosse. But, and my God, it's fast and they score a lot. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, I got to see that.
Yeah. So, like, in terms of, so we've mentioned your sporting hero is Kobe, but have you got three basketball players outside of Kobe who you think are just awesome?
Oh, yeah. I would say Steph Curry, Fred VanVleet, and now that I'm over here in Europe, I've been looking at more of Mike James. Okay. You know, he plays in Monaco. Yeah, those are three kind of players that I kind of, you know, model my game after in some type of way, shape or form, and try to just take bits and pieces of that game.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I saw again, a clip of Steph Curry where, like, in total casual gear, he was taking basketballs off from the far end of the court and flinging them kind of overarm. Right. And they just kept going in. They just kept going in. It was like, yeah, absolutely crazy. But so Europe. So you're now playing in Germany for, you know, a team which, from the look up of the roster, seems to be quite, there's a reasonable mix of nationalities in it anyway. But playing in Germany and a league there versus, I mean, college ball where you've come from has to be dramatically different.
Definitely.
Last week at some point, I was in Boston with Trevor, the other co-founder of Sport Norse, and we were in Boston College and went into kind of, you know, where their court would be, yeah? And you're kind of looking around it as an Irish guy and you're going, wow. I mean, it's one of the smaller ones relatively, but it's still big, yeah? So the crowds and the fan base, which would be around college ball versus what you're seeing in Germany, it's like, is there way less? I'm guessing there's way less hype and kind of entertainment around a game, right? It's much more just get it done type stuff. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, the popularity around the sport is not as big as back at home, obviously. But I feel like here in Germany, it's definitely growing. You know, the game of basketball in general is growing globally, I feel like. And, you know, more people are getting interested all over. But, yeah, man, it's more of, yeah, get it done, do what you got to do. You know, it's about the love of the game that you have for it and not really caring about, you know, everything about the hype of the game, more as the love that you have for it and the passion that you have for it to keep you going. So, you know, but it is different. But here, you know, our fans are great. The supporters are great. You know, our games are very good. You know, it's a lot of good energy at our games and stuff like that. So it's growing. It's growing.
Okay. Yeah. It's one of the things sometimes when a sport isn't as mainstream. I mean, basketball is relatively mainstream, but when it's not at, like, let's say the top sport, potentially, the fan base can often be a very strong fan base from the perspective that they're really into the sport. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, one of the things which we've seen is once sports become, let's say, broadly popular, you can get a lot of corporate hospitality at different games. And that isn't, you know, so people who enjoy the game go, definitely, but they're maybe not as dedicated a fan, excuse me, as someone who's actually following the sport because of their pure love of it. Yeah.
Right.
And so sprechen Sie Deutsch. Do you speak any German yet?
not very well, man. Not very well. I know the basics, for the most part, you know, just hello and bye and stuff like that. Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, I'm still learning. You know, it's my first year. I've had so much to adjust to right now as it pertains to on the court and stuff like that. So that's been my main focus. But, you know, in my free time, I have tried to learn as much as I can. to help me get by so I don't look like a complete idiot when I'm going to get food or at the grocery store or something like that. So
I hear you. But yeah. Just to make you feel a little bit easier, I was, again, myself and Trevor, we were in Munich in November for a show. And I was reflecting at that point. I used to speak a little bit of German, but years ago. But I actually, when I was 16, spent some time in Regensburg, which is northeast of Munich, learning German. I used to go into stores and I'd be starting to speak in Germany. And 9 times out of 10, whoever was there would just go, "It's okay, I speak English." And I'm right. like, you know. Right. So at least it's not that bad, one hopes. Yeah. But,
no, I will say that many people here speak English, you know, and that's the great thing about Germany. I feel like, you know, it's helped the adjustment for me. So, but it would be nice to at least know some of their language to help speak with them, you know, if I do plan on being here for a long time. So
I hear you. So on the outside language, German food can be quite specific. I mean, you've got Wurst, but have you ever tried eating a thing called a Knödel?
A Knödel? I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe.
It looks like, I'd describe it as something, a cross between a softball and a tennis ball. Yeah.
Oh.
It's certainly, I mean, so you're southeast of Stuttgart. So down around that part of the country, they will have them. If you get a chance, maybe share one with a couple of mates.
Okay.
I had Trevor taste one in Munich, and I mean, they're very stodgy. Yeah. So, you know, don't have one before a game.
Yeah. I don't think I've had one yet. I don't think I have. It's called a Knödel.
Knödel. Yeah. So okay. K-N-O, the two little dots, and umlaut, D-E-L. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. I'm going to keep that in mind.
I'll ping it on to you. But yeah, don't have them on before a game. Definitely not. Yeah, they'll slow you down.
All right.
So I mean, so how long are you in Germany, actually, just for the listeners?
So I'll be in Germany until at least the end of May or the end of April. The end of April, I mean, that's when our regular season is over, and May is when the playoffs begin. So depending on how we do, will depend on how long I'll be here.
Okay. That's interesting. So have you managed then, while you've been there, to get out and visit any other European countries or not? Or your schedule doesn't allow it, really?
Not really. Not as of yet. I've been to different, you know, villages in Germany so far, you know, but I haven't been able to visit anywhere else in Europe. But we have a break coming up soon, and I'm going to try to do something. You know, I was thinking about maybe Paris or something like that. You know, we're about 3 hours away from there. So, you know, just trying to do what I can while I'm out here, just to, you know, see different things and experience different things while I'm here. So,
yeah, sounds like a plan. But I'm married to a French woman, as it turns out. So, not from Paris, though, from the southwest Bordeaux. I've a great love of France. And however, at the risk of possibly being abused from family members if they ever listen to this, there's a book written by, I think, French Canadians, and the title is something like 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong, why we love France but not the French. French people are, I like them obviously, but they can be quite serious looking sometimes. I always like a smile. So last question, just around Europe. So, I mean, you've gone from being a top tier collegiate athlete to coming to play in Europe. You know, any advice for someone in the US who's considering going to Europe? What do you think so far? I mean, season one, I know. Yes or no? Good idea? Bad idea? Have a good think about it. What would you advise?
My best advice would be, you know, it's not for everybody. You know, I can say that right now. You know, I have some peers that have great experience over here, and then I know some peers that don't like it at all. You know, so it kind of depends on who you are as an individual. You know, my best advice would be, if you come over here, though, just to come with the right approach and the right mentality, as far as, like, you know, you're in Europe now. It's not America anymore, you know, and it might be hard to, you know, adjust right away and to mentally come to that understanding right away. But, you know, it's the reality, and, you know, things are looked at and viewed differently over here as far as the game. So just adapting to, you know, what's going on around you, and the game itself is played differently as well. So that's a big thing, you know, just from the smallest things, from, you know, violations like traveling and footwork, stuff like that. So you have to just come prepared as best as you can and just talk to someone who's played over here. That's something that helped me. You know, one of my mentors played overseas and he kind of gave me a lot of pointers before I came over here. But yeah, just studying the game and, you know, really asking yourself, is this what you want to do?
Okay. That sounds like really good advice. Thank you for that. So then on terms of like your kind of your day to day, I'm, you know, obviously Sport Norse, we help athletes and brands kind of get together. So what brands do you typically use day to day, starting from, I don't know if you're a coffee drinker through to, you know, if you carb load, what you like wearing, if you were to pick six or seven brands that you think you're using, what would they be?
Since I've gotten out here, I've been more of a tea drinker, you know, so I've been big on like green tea, you know, trying to get on that, you know, finding things nutritionally to, you know, help my body. So just eating different things, you know, from fruits and vegetables, and finding different proteins that work for me. So as far as clothes, you know, I still wear a lot of my clothes from back home. So, you know, sporting brands like Nike, Adidas, things like that. But, you know, our team is sponsored by a brand called 14. I think it's Italian-based brand, which, you know, has some nice clothing and stuff like that. So just seeing the new styles and embracing it all, and, you know, just figuring what I like best, is has been a fun adventure for me so far.
Okay, pretty cool. And but I'm going to just poke a little bit on the, because you listen to a lot of music. Yeah. Do you know the brand of headphones that you have?
The brand? Oh, yeah. I have AirPods, so
AirPods. Yeah. Okay, fine. It's always an interesting one, because it seems that, again, the athletes we talk to, they either go for things like AirPods, which are nice and tight, yeah, or they have these much bigger kind of, you know, headphones with the kind of strap over the head. Again, following that trend, if you're looking at a brand, because there's lots of opportunities whereby a brand will look for brand ambassadors, right? So, which is essentially where you will represent the brand for typically the duration of 12 months. You know, where you talk about them, you might post about them, stuff like that. So what do you look for in a brand in order to partner with them? So for you, in other words, I can explain what they typically would look for, but what would you like to see from a brand?
Yeah. I would just like for it to be something that I'm genuinely interested in, you know. I wouldn't want to endorse anything that, you know, I'm not too interested in, you know. Maybe if I wasn't interested in at the time, you know, maybe learning about it will help. But just kind of something that I'm, you know, I do on a daily, or something that's just kind of natural for me to just endorse and, you know, promote, would just be more, you know, organic for me. So,
okay. That is, believe it or not, Mike, that's a perfect answer. Yeah. Because when it is natural and organic and it's day to day, it enables you to be authentic, and authenticity is the most important part, right?
For
making that a successful two-way relationship. So you nailed that one, just like you've just scored another beautiful three-pointer. So what about, I mean, I'm going to ask you, I mean, some of the different duties that sometimes athletes get asked to do would be to speak publicly, to do social media, stuff like that, etc. I mean, you're on a podcast with me, and you're articulate, I can tell you that. So you definitely can speak, and well, what about if we were to throw you on a chair in front of an audience of 200-300? Is that okay, or
I don't know yet, man, because I haven't done it, so
okay.
But I'm growing, I'm getting better, you know. I used to hate public speaking, honestly, just being honest, but I'm seeing now, as I'm getting older and experiencing more things, you know, sharing my journey has been something that I kind of want to get into, and maybe get into later. So I can maybe see that in the future for me.
Who knows? Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. And what about social media? Do you do much on social media?
Yeah, I'm on there. I wouldn't say I'm as active as I can be, but I kind of like to stay more focused on, you know, the goal at hand, which is the season for me. But I'm seeing now, you know, the many opportunities it has and, you know, what it does for a lot of people. So I'm interested in that aspect, you know, more as impacting and helping others, you know, behind me or people that are looking for things to, you know, get them some type of inspiration or something like that. So I'm kind of big on it for that aspect.
Well, one thing I can tell you, which is logical, I guess, and you probably know, if you've got a relatively small compared to like mega influencer type follower base, yeah, they are genuine followers, right? So that means what you put out, either for a brand or if it's inspirational or whatever, etc., gets attention. So your engagement rates, I'm sure are great. Right. So on to the outlook, you know, so what's your dream for the next 3 to 5 years? If you could take out a pen right now and write what happens in your next 3 to 5 years, what is it?
You know, just being in a better position I was in the year prior every year, honestly. Okay. You know, I believe in, you know, just taking it a year at a time and not getting too ahead of myself. But I definitely want to climb the ladder in Europe, you know, the Euro League. I want to do that. You know, I've heard so many great things about it, and just giving myself the best opportunity to just travel and explore and play high level competition. You know, that's always been my dream. And I've always had a dream to play in the NBA as well, you know, back at home. So that's still a dream of mine. And if that happens in 3 to 5 years, that'd be great. But, you know, I'm just taking it a year at a time, a day at a time, and seeing what happens. You know, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And actually, what was thought went through my head earlier when you'd mentioned the fact that the game is played quite differently in Germany than it is back home. In my head, that opens up. The more you learn about how the game is played differently in different places, that strengthens you. Yeah. And that means if you go back home, then maybe you've got different angles which can be applied well.
Yeah. Right. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the last question, Mike, is the, when you hang up your boots, when you step off the court, when you're, I don't know, when you're, well, I'm 50 this year, so you're unlikely to be playing ball when you're still 50. So what kind of, have you any idea what you might like to be doing around that kind of time frame?
Honestly, I don't know, but that's the beauty of the game. You know, every year I meet new people. You know, the networking of the game is crazy. You know, just seeing different people and finding out different things they do, and, you know, seeing different older players who are now getting into different career paths is amazing. So I think as I get older, I will learn more about, you know, life after basketball. You know, I think I'm so fresh into it now that I'm so focused on just building my career at the moment. But, you know, I'm definitely going to figure something out. I'm not going to just not do anything at all. So we'll see what happens.
Good stuff. And you're absolutely right. You're at an age and a time in your career where you should be focused on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've also, I think, hit the nail on the head from the perspective of if you're networking and if you're learning from older players who've been transitioning and stuff like that. So that's all great. It all feeds in. And that means when eventually that comes, which could be in 10 years time or longer, then you'll be better prepared for it. So that's great. Okay. Well, listen, Mike, I've really enjoyed our chat. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us on the Sit Down with Sport Endorse. And sure, we'll be in touch. We won't be strangers.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you for having me.
That's all for this episode. Thanks once again to Mike for giving us his time and sharing his views, and to everyone continuing to download and listen to The Sit Down. We truly appreciate your support. If you're looking for impact in Germany or the USA and are interested in working with Mike so your brand can start scoring three-pointers with fluidity and regularity, sign up to the Sport Endorse platform and reach out to Mike, or reach out to us by email to hello@sportendorse.com. or DM us via social media. Be sure to follow Sport Endorse on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn for all the latest updates. Until next time, take care and be relentless.